my gen looks to be the least religious generation in history. And that's comparing today's teens and young adults to those of previous eras. So it's not just due to them being young.
That's Gene Twenge, and I'm Dan Skinner. This is Conversations. Gene Twenge is a professor of psychology at San Diego State University. She joins us to talk about her book, iGen, Why Today's Super-Connected Kids Are Growing Up Less Rebellious, More Tolerant, Less Happy, and Completely Unprepared for Adulthood, and what that means for the rest of us. Gene, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much.
Your book explores 10 generational differences that you see in this cohort, iGen. Give us an overview of what readers will find in this book.
Well, iGen is the generation born between 1995 and approximately 2012. So it's today's kids, teens, and youngest young adults. So they're already in college, and few of them starting in the workplace and in our high schools and middle schools. They are the first generation to spend their whole adolescence with a smartphone. And that has had ripple effects across many areas of their lives, including how they spend their leisure time and in their mental health and in their attitudes toward the world.
So how much time are they spending on the internet? And based on what you've learned, how much is too much?
Estimates vary, but it looks like the average teen today spends between 6 and 8 hours of their leisure time on some screen or another. So that's doing social media, being online, texting, playing games, and so on. What that tends to mean, that is so much time that it often crowds out time for other activities. So from these same very large national surveys of teens, not only do they say they spend more time online and on their phones than they used to, they spend less time hanging out with their friends in person. So going to parties, just getting together with friends informally, driving around in a car, going to the shopping mall, all the things that teens do, iGen teens do those things less. So that's probably why it is potentially a problem that they're spending so much time on screens. If it's so much that it crowds out time for sleep and in-person interaction with friends and sports and exercise, things that are really great for mental health and happiness, that's when it becomes a problem.
Well, some of them might say, well, what do you mean? I'm more connected to my friends than ever before.
Well, that presumes that communicating with your friends electronically is just as good as hanging out with them in person. And it's not. We know that it's not as good for mental health, that screen communication is correlated with worse mental health. In-person interaction is correlated with much better mental health. And even teens know this, is what's interesting to me. So in addition to drawing from these large national surveys, I also interviewed a bunch of teens, and all of them said, no, I'd actually rather see my friends face-to-face. You can see the expression on their face. You can give them a hug. It's more fulfilling. But when you ask, well, why don't you? You know, they say, well, that phone, it seems mandatory, and I feel like I have to do it.
Is there an element of peer pressure coming into play here?
And an addictive element. That's another piece, too. There's an increasing amount of research suggesting that social media and phones and time online sets off a lot of the same brain responses that, say, drugs do, and that the way teens talk about it is telling, that they say, well, I don't know, I don't really want to, but I feel like I have to. That's the way addicts talk about drugs.
I'm curious. Obviously, once someone in this iGen generation is out of the home, there's not much a parent can do, but are there strategies that parents could implement for children that are home to help limit and avoid some of these negative effects?
So one thing is that the negative mental health effects of screens show up the most among younger teens. So put off getting your kid a smartphone as long as you can. When they do have one, say by high school, then you can put an app on the phone that limits the amount of time that they use it, or that limits the amount of time they spend on a particular social media site. Because a moderate amount of use, yeah, they keep in touch with their friends, that's good. There's nothing wrong with that. The mental health effects don't show up until you get 2 hours a day or more of, say, on social media. So that's why having the phone is fine, you know, once they're in high school, but using it in a limited amount seems to be the sweet spot for happiness.
In simpler times, kids didn't have as much information at their fingertips. Is there something about the sheer volume and intensity of that information that has a negative impact on young people today?
Yeah, so that's another element to it, that teens are just not reading books and magazines anymore. So long form print has really fallen by the wayside. So they use these very short snippets. And we'll have to see, you know, how that ends up affecting the way they think and their cognitive performance. It may not be a coincidence that SAT scores on reading and critical reading and writing started to decline right around the time that smartphones came on the scene. So I still think we still have to try to figure out how it's going to affect their cognitive development.
One of the things you point out is that children seem to be developing a little later these days, that they're maturing at a slower rate. Tell us more about that.
So again, this is from these, you know, big national surveys. And if you look at 18-year-olds, iGen teens, compared to teens in, let's say, the 1990s, Gen X teens, today's teens are less likely to have their driver's license, to work at a job, to go out without their parents, to date, to have sex, and to drink alcohol. Less likely to do all of those things. And there's been, you know, a lot of observations about these trends and also the decline in teen pregnancy that have said, oh, this means teens are more virtuous or they're more responsible. And then the ones about working will say, no, it's because they're lazy. Well, I think all of those really miss the point because, yeah, some of those trends are good. Some of them are not. Some of them are kind of in between and they're neutral at the end of the day. That really misses the big picture. The big picture is teens are taking longer to take on both the responsibilities and the pleasures of adulthood. Overall, across the board, they are growing up more slowly. 18-year-olds now look like what 15-year-olds used to. And that has some wonderful things about it, like less teen pregnancy, less alcohol use among young people. Yet it has a flip side, which is they end up getting to college or getting to the workplace without as much experience making decisions on their own and without as much experience with independence.
What are some of the differences you've seen in this generation in regard to their political beliefs, religious beliefs, et cetera?
Yeah, so I was able to take a careful look at both of those. So for religious beliefs, iGen looks to be the least religious generation in history. And that's comparing today's teens and young adults to those of previous eras. So it's not just due to them being young. They're significantly less religious than teens and young adults were in the 90s or in the 70s. And it's in the ways you probably heard about in terms of not affiliating with a religion, not as likely to go to religious services. But it's now gone beyond that into private religious belief and practice. So iGen young adults are less likely to say that they pray or believe in God, and there's been a big change in that just in the last 5 to 10 years. Then in terms of their political beliefs, they're also disconnected from institutions in that way as well. A much higher percentage than in previous eras identify as politically independent, and the kind of organizing principle behind their specific political beliefs is that they're more libertarian. They favor the rights of the individual over the action of government or the group.
You pointed out earlier that members of this group are delaying sexual involvement, but also they have different sexual attitudes.
Yeah, they do. So it's an interesting picture with iGen, and then also the millennials just before them showed some of these trends as well, that they're much more likely to say, yeah, it's fine to have sex without being married, no big deal. But they're actually less likely to have sex as young adults compared to previous generations. So some of that is because they're not getting married until later. But there's just, again, part of this overall shift in the slowing of development. Twice as many iGen and millennial young adults in their early 20s have not had a sexual partner since age 18 compared to Gen Xers born in the 60s. So there's this shift. More of them are living at home. Fewer finish their education. And probably as a result, they're not full-fledged adults and not taking part in a lot of adult pleasures like sexuality.
What sort of impacts does this have for employers, for example, that you're going to have to engage these workers in a different way?
Yeah, so iGen shows some really interesting shifts when it comes to their attitudes toward work. So on the one hand, their work ethic, by what they say themselves, is higher than it was for millennials at the same age about 10 years ago. So iGen is more likely to say that they're willing to work overtime, for example. So I think that's probably most managers are going to say, hey, that sounds really good. They're really willing to work hard. iGen is also very, very interested in having a safe and secure job. contrary to popular belief, they're actually a little less interested in being an entrepreneur and having their own business, and which makes perfect sense because they're very risk averse. So this is a generation, if you're a manager, you're just going to see them starting to come into the workplace. And they're a generation with a lot of potential because they really want to work hard and do well, but you'll have to nurture them a little more carefully than millennials. Millennials wanted praise for doing good work. iGen needs reassurance. They are not as self-confident or as optimistic as millennials were, but they're more willing to work harder.
But you also point out that a survey showed, I believe it was in 2016, that 1 in 4 young men in their 20s aren't even looking for work.
Right. So this is the other interesting trend that's occurred, especially since about 2000. So it predates the Great Recession, that there's this increasing trend for young men in particular, but young women too, in their 20s to not just be unemployed, but to not even be just not working at all, and many of them not even looking for work. So some economists have been looking at this because that used to be the most reliably employed segment of the population was, you know, young men. And now that's not the case anymore. So that's part of the changing job market. There's obviously a lot of factors going on there. But some of it, according to some economists, has occurred, again, because of technology, that there's so many more tempting things to do, like play video games, particularly if you're living with your parents and you don't have rent to pay. So there's a lot of trends going on here where, yes, from what iGen says in terms of how hard they want to work, they say that they're willing to do it. But then the reality is, especially for those without a college education, and they hit the job market and they find out that these jobs are not exactly what they had in mind. And that is often keeping them out of the workforce.
I want to talk a little bit more about the long-term impact of this group, because for the longest time, we talked about the baby boomers and that being the large group. But now we have this group, which is even larger than those who are over 65, I believe you talk about in your book. So what kind of societal changes do you think this will bring?
Well, it'll be interesting to see. I would suspect that this trend away from in-person social interaction extends to adults as well. I think we need to try to figure that out with some more data. But this general movement away from in-person social interaction and onto the phone will certainly be one thing that might end up staying with us. And I think that's going to have a real impact on social skills, on cognitive development, and potentially on mental health once that reaches older populations as well.
Gene, what is the relationship between the amount of time that this group spends on the phone and their happiness?
Yeah, so pretty much every activity that teens can do on screens, the more time they spend on it, the more likely they are to be unhappy. But of course, that's a correlation. So you have to ask the question, well, maybe it's that teens who are unhappy are thus spending more time on screen activities. Well, there's three studies that have more or less ruled out that explanation, at least for social media. Two follow people over time and found that more social media use leads to unhappiness, but more unhappiness didn't lead to more social media use. The third one is a true experiment. Flip of a coin, half the people gave up Facebook for a week versus not, and those who gave up Facebook ended the week happier, less depressed, and less lonely than those who did not. So all those really point in the direction of at least some of the causation going from spending time on screens and social media to unhappiness rather than the other way around.
Gene, thank you for talking with me today.
Thank you.
Gene Twenge's book is iGen, Why Today's Super Connected Kids Are Growing Up Less Rebellious, More Tolerant, Less Happy, and Completely Unprepared for Adulthood, and what that means for the rest of us. More interviews on a wide variety of topics are available at kpr.ku.edu/conversations. You can also use our KPR app to listen on your phone or tablet. Conversations is a production of Kansas Public Radio. I'm Dan Skinner. Thanks for listening.